Well, we want to welcome all of you to our Monday night Meet the Diamonds call. My name is Dave Stolzfus. My wife and I are Nikan Royal Diamonds. And I'm really, really excited to welcome our special guest tonight, Cindy Buck from Colorado. Cindy, are you still with us?
I am here.
Good evening, Cindy.
Good evening to you.
It's great to have you on the call. Now, I'm assuming it's you and not you and Bo, but it's you on the call tonight.
It's just me. Bo is working. We're building our house, and
so
Bo is probably doing some finished carpentry over at the house.
Wonderful. Wonderful, Cindy. Now, you come from Colorado, and I know you had sent me the town that you're from. What big city are you close to?
I was born and raised in Aspen, Colorado.
What a terrible place to be.
Yeah, we're just right outside of Aspen in a little place called Basalt, Colorado.
Which has made
headlines in the New York Times lately. It's a very, very pretty place.
Are you both skiers?
We are. I'm actually a professional ski instructor.
Oh, wow. How great. Great. You know, Cindy, I have found that guests do a much better job at introducing themselves and kind of going into the background than for me to tell a little bit about yourself. So would you share a little bit with us what your life was like and what you guys did before you got introduced to Nikan, and maybe then at the same time kind of share with us how you got into Nikan?
Sure. Bo and I had gotten and flipped a coin, and we were going to go either heads to San Francisco or tails to Boston. And when we flipped the coin, it was tails. So we headed east to Boston. We had no jobs, no place to live. We had $1,000 and a Ryder truck full of stuff. So we headed east, and Bo got into the seafood importing business and worked that business for 15 years. And I started as a receptionist in sales and marketing and worked my way to national sales manager in a four-year time span.
Now, Cindy, this was your own business, or did you work for a business?
No, I worked for somebody else.
Oh, okay.
Jumped into corporate America,
mm-hmm.
and so did Bo, and we built other people's networks.
Yes.
For several years. And
yes.
So there were many lessons on that journey in corporate America that were very important for us to experience so that we knew that they were true. And you know, Bo, I won't talk for Bo. You'll have to interview him one day. I'll just tell you my story.
Okay.
But basically, I had a miscarriage over a paycheck, which was a really strong lesson in my priorities. My family has obviously always come before money, and for me to get so stressed out about a paycheck, I was on straight commission sales at that point. I was the number one top producing salesperson in this advertising company, and I went in to collect the money that I had earned, and was not treated very well, and was so stressed by the interaction that 1 hour later I started losing my baby.
Oh,
so I went through that, and I was 4 months pregnant. So I went through that lesson and realized that, you know, nothing is ever going to get between me and my children again, especially not a job or a business. So I went on about my life, and I went through two other positions. I was working with a headhunter, and he would pluck me out of this company and put me in another company, and then pluck me out of that company and put me in another company, working me up the corporate scale, because every time he placed me, he got paid. So I was working as went through two buyouts with a corporation and worked my way up to national sales manager with that corporation, and I got pregnant again. And I was afraid to tell them that I was pregnant because of my past experience. So I didn't tell them. And at 7.5 months pregnant, I finally said, well, we should have a maternity conversation. And they told me that my base salary was going to go away, that I had to fire my sales staff, who I was getting overrides on, and that they didn't want to lose me. And so I told them if they fired me right then, I wouldn't sue them, because I knew that if they fired me, I would get unemployment, and if I quit, I wasn't going to get anything, and
mm-hmm.
nothing was going to get between me and my children, and I knew that they didn't want a lawsuit.
So you told them to fire you?
I told them, if you fire me right now, I won't sue you. So they fired me, and I went on to have my son, and then 18 months later, I had my daughter, and I decided at that time, when that whole thing was happening, and I told them to fire me, that if I was going to work for anybody as hard as I work with the ethics that I work within, that I was going to work for no other person other than myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how that was going to work. I had never worked for myself before. I had never started a business, but that was the way it was going to be, and that was the end of the story.
Now, in the meantime, Bo was also working in corporate America, right?
He was working in corporate America, working his way up to the top of the corporation. And as the years passed, he went to two other companies in the seafood importing business. And he was the oldest and the highest paid executive on the payroll. And when they told him to hire and train managers in these different regions that he was managing by himself and train them, teach them what he knew, we knew that the writing was on the wall and that they were about to pay three college graduates what they had been paying one executive. Just when he was the most educated and the most experienced, he was the least valuable to the corporate structure because of the way corporate can work.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, we ended up moving to Colorado. We wanted to bring a business with us. We were able to bring his seafood importing business with us. And I looked back, he had an office off our kitchen, and I looked back. We were in this glorious house with these wonderful children and in this beautiful place with this fabulous lifestyle, and I looked over my shoulder at him, and he had six lines going and a fax, and he was just Mr. Stress, and I thought, oh my gosh, it's a heart attack waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to ride on my big white horse and rescue my husband from corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way that I could do that was to make a six-figure income, and, you know, that's expensive. We're in a ski resort, and I've got to somehow replace a six-figure income,
mm-hmm.
and I've been out of the workplace for 5 years at that point.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck am I going to do? I didn't know, and I started some businesses, but they just weren't bringing in that kind of money. And so my husband's an international rugby player, and he was working really hard during the week, and then he was taking his stress out on the rugby field on the weekend. So he would fly from here and there and all over the place and play rugby at a national level. And he was down in Bermuda playing with the U.S. rugby team when he got a Charlie horse, which was a really hard whack on his thigh, on his quadricep muscle, and he'd had him before. It's usually a 2 or 3 week recovery. So he was dragging his thigh back to the hotel room knowing that he was out of the tournament. And this guy from California had just signed up with this company called Niken and had brought a little product called a Magboy down with him to Bermuda, and he gave Bo these two magnetic balls in this little plastic case, and he said, Bo, you know what, we really need you on the field tomorrow. Take these magnetic balls, roll them on your leg, and maybe you can play with us against South Africa. And Bo said, what?
Mm-hmm.
He said, what do you have to lose? So Bo went back to the hotel room and rolled this crazy thing on his thigh for about an hour and a half and finally said, this is ridiculous, it's not doing anything. He threw it on the bedside table, and the next morning he woke up, tried against South Africa. So he had a product experience that blew his mind, and when he got back to our home, he called this guy in California and wanted to buy one of these things. And the guy had his life as crazy as it was and didn't return Bo's phone call. So finally Bo stopped calling him, and 11 months later, if you believe there are no accidents, a very successful man who was in his 60s just got downsized from his six-figure income and thought, what is he going to do? And he decided he was going to build a Niken business. And he called Bo and he said, listen, I'm starting a new business. I'd like to tell you what I'm up to. And Bo says, fantastic. So they met at a coffee shop in Basalt. And when Bo went to meet this man, there was a Magboy sitting on the table.
Oh, boy, and he recognized it, huh?
Bo got really excited and said, where did you get this? And Peter says, how do you know about this? And he says, these things are incredible. I've been trying to get one for over a year. And Peter said, how do you know about this? Nobody knows about this. So it was phenomenal, and that was the beginning of what became our Niken career. But Bo said, you know, wait a minute, you know, this is what you're going to do as a business. What do you have, distribution rights or whatever? And he found out it was a network marketing company. Well, Bo and I had done six other network marketing companies very unsuccessfully. We had never sponsored one person, and we had never made over $100.
Oh, my.
But we had signed up in 6 other companies.
Wow.
So Peter asked, why have you failed 6 times in network marketing? And Bo said, because we've never had anybody show us how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if I could show you the support that there is in Niken, will you work with me? And he said, I don't know. Show me the support first. So Peter introduced us to 6 levels of our active upline, and Bo asked them very frank questions. How much are you making, and how long did it take you to make that much, and what did you do before you got into Niken, and why did you choose Niken of all the things you could have done, and those kind of questions. And he was so impressed with the quality of the people and their track record that he really wanted to do this as a business.
Uh-huh.
So I told him, go ahead, I'm not doing it. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of, but you
really
can do it.
Wow.
So here we have a typical situation where the spouse is not supportive of the other spouse's decision. But, you know, in our marriage, hey, look, you're a smart human. If you want to do something, do it. I'm not going to get in your way, but, you know, I'm not going to do it.
And you were the one who was looking, right? I mean, were you not
looking?
I was
the one that was looking, but in our relationship, I've become the bulldog. I've become the Doberman pincher who is there to protect Bo, who's got vulnerable printed on his forehead.
You know, I love
pick it. Me, I'll buy anything.
Yeah.
So I was trying to protect him from embarrassing himself and protect him from making a really bad decision. So for 11 months, he ran around and, you know, he made well more than we'd ever made. I mean, he got one paycheck was $1,300. He was so excited about that paycheck. But I said to him, sweetheart, you're doing really well. You know, I'm so glad that you made this money with Niken. But, honey, our mortgage is $6,000. This is not going to work. This paycheck does not pay our expenses.
Yeah.
So, anyway, 11 months of this craziness went along, and I agreed to sleep on the bed and put some insoles in my ski boots, and I put some magnets in my ski school uniform. And if somebody complained that their knee hurt or their shoulder hurt, I'd whip them out a magnet very sarcastically and they'd get better in front of my eyes. But I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to do this. And then a 3-way phone call came from Lynette Richardson. And Lynette said, Cindy, you fly to this Team Diamond event in Kansas City, and you check out Niken top to bottom. And if you don't like what you see, I will never talk to you about Niken again. And I said, deal. So I got on a plane, and I went to see Niken, and I was very paranoid. I was very negative. I was very closed-minded. But I remember a couple of things that happened at that event. And one was this Julie Tara stood up in the front of the room. I didn't know who she was at the time. Little English lady, about 90 pounds, soaking wet.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, most of us lose our ability to dream in the 4th grade. Allow yourself to dream this weekend. And I thought, all right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I...
Did you feel that's where you were at, Cindy, that you had kind of struggling with your dreams again?
Yeah, I suppose so. Mm-hmm. I suppose so. We were on survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were raising a family and trying to pay mortgages. And,
yeah,
you know, we were just swimming, mm-hmm, trying not to drown. And so that sunk in. And then there were some people that crossed the stage, because what I thought this was going to be like is I thought it was going to be about a bunch of fancy cars and fancy houses and people dripping in jewelry and very materialistic.
Standing on chairs and doing rah, rah, rah.
Right. You two can work 2 hours a day and make $1 million a year. And I was going to point at Lynette, and she wasn't going to call me anymore because it was a bunch of baloney. And that's not what happened at that event at all. There was a lot of heart and soul in the room. I remember Chuck and Claudia Branham talking about a project that they were doing with extra money that was over and above what they needed to support their own family with.
Mm-hmm.
They were starting reading programs for children with ADD and ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, I want to do something like that. And then I remember reading Yvonne Nelson talking about these foster kids that they had adopted from all over the world, almost 100 kids that they were supporting, making sure that they had food and shelter and were safe,
mm-hmm,
you know, because their families blew apart somehow. And I thought, wow, I would love to do something like that. And then this big guy came, you know, asked us, he said, I want to ask you a question. Here's my question for you. Dave Johnson got in this business to make $5,000 extra a month. His check last month was $195,000. My question for you is, what would you do with, his check last month was $200,000. My question for you is, what would you do with $195,000 a month you really didn't need? And he shut up, and my wheels were spinning.
Talking about dreaming again, huh?
Talking about dreaming again.
Wow.
And I couldn't even imagine myself in that position, making $195,000 a month I really didn't need. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do the math. I couldn't even, it was way too vulnerable for me. But I thought, okay, what if I had $195,000 a year that I really didn't need? What would I do with that money? And I got tingles all over my body. And I thought, okay, I've climbed to the top of every company that I've ever been part of. And I've never gotten anywhere. You know, there's always a top. And with this, there is no top.
Isn't that fun?
Wouldn't it be cool if I could do well with Bo in this, and we could organize our family life around, we could organize our business life around our family life for the first time in our life.
Mm. Now, how old were your children at that time?
Our kids were just, it was about 10 years ago now.
Uh-huh.
So Dylan was 6 and Mackenzie was 5.
Wow, what a great time to spend time with the family.
It was. So I really came home and I did my due diligence, and I really, really believe, because here's what I did. Lynette said, if you check out the top and check out the bottom. So at the end of that event, I had listened to the top who had been in the front of the stage. They'd, you know, been the people talking from stage. And I was really impressed. So Bo wanted to get something to eat, and I said, you go get something to eat. I told Lynette that I would check out the top and check out the bottom, and I've got to conduct some interviews. So he goes, okay, whatever. So he left, and I interviewed over 100 people that were flooding out of the stadium. Can I just ask you a couple questions about your product experience? I don't care how much money you're making, and I don't care what level you are, because I don't even understand what that means, but I want to know what these products have done for you. And I heard story after story after story after story of people, how these products had enhanced people's lives. Just like the gentleman that was speaking earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, and I'm right there live with these people, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm watching their skin, I'm listening to their voice, I'm looking at their eyes, and I know that these people are telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it. And I thought, you know what, if this is true, I can promote this. I can promote anything that I truly, truly believe in. So I thought, all right, let's do this, and let's don't do it halfway. We're either going to do it or we're not going to do it at all.
Yeah. Now, Cindy, obviously you guys probably were in pretty good health, both of you, and I'm assuming that was the case. And you must have tons of stories in your own organization, like a product testimonial. Could you share with us maybe the one that comes to your mind the quickest of one of your best stories in your organization, not from the standpoint of the results you got, but because you reached out, whether it was second level, third level, fourth level, down there, it somehow got to them that literally changed their life because of these products.
Yeah, I'll tell you a story. I mean, you're right. Every single day, I mean, I just got back today. I'm working with a woman who's loving the water, a woman who had a headache that we got rid of in probably 20 minutes, and a guy that had carbon monoxide poisoning last week who's got his life back. So, yeah, there's testimonials that happen on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite story was when I really began to understand the impact that network marketing and the global mission that you referred to, Dave, earlier in the call is about, and this is what happened. I went down to Australia. We have a fairly large organization down there. I've been down there 5 times. Supporting them. Somebody's got to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was down there, and this lady came up to me, and she said, are you Cindy Buck? And I said, oh, are you with the police? she says, no, you don't know me, but you told so-and-so who told so-and-so who told so-and-so who told so-and-so who told me. And I, the whole wellness home concept made sense to me, so I invested in a wellness home, and because I did that, my son no longer has seizures, so I want to thank you.
Wow. Did she attribute that to the wellness home as a whole, or were there
she
some...
She did. It was kind of like the gentleman that was talking earlier, a greenhouse for the human body.
Mm-hmm.
When her son was in this environment, his body had the energy it needed to heal itself.
Mm-hmm.
And before his body was in this environment, his body was fighting so hard, you know, cleaning the water, cleaning the air, helping him sleep, doing whatever, trying to metabolize food, I don't know what,
mm-hmm.
that his body didn't have the energy to deal with the seizures. It was too much.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was what gave me the insight onto the mission that we're really a part of, that here I am in North America, and here is this little boy in Australia on the other side of the planet.
That you didn't know.
Who I didn't know. But I was brave enough to talk to somebody, and they were brave enough to talk to somebody, and they were brave enough to talk to somebody, and somehow this had a ripple effect across the globe, and this little boy was helped on the other side of the world.
Oh my God,
that's pretty cool.
The goosebumps. Incredible.
Yeah, it's very worthwhile.
I'm sure in your wildest imagination, Cindy, you could not have even thought of this kind of perfect company that you were looking for, but you didn't know you were looking for it.
No.
You know, when you're out there looking for how do I make some money, how do I replace my husband's income, so he's not going to have a heart attack, we have no idea what we're signing when we sign that application, do we?
No, and that is the biggest challenge in this business, is to communicate in a way and create relationships in a way that people are able to do their due diligence, or brave enough to do their due diligence, take the time and make it a priority to do their due diligence on this project called NECHEN, and really understand truly what we're doing. We're not just selling products. It's way, way, way more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But to have a connection with somebody and encourage them to really take a strong look at what we are doing is the biggest challenge in this business, because most people, if they did take the time, we would have to, you know, put people on hold. I can't get to you right now. I've got so many people
mm-hmm.
that I'm sponsoring right now. You're going to have to call me next week. That's
mm-hmm.
how it would be.
Mm-hmm.
But because people don't realize what we have in our hands, and the $49 that you alluded to earlier sometimes throws people for a loop.
And yeah, because it sounds like a scam, doesn't it?
There's sometimes if you pay more, it seems like it's more valuable. Somebody told me, and maybe you can validate this, Dave, that to become a NECHEN consultant in Japan is like $10,000. Is that true?
Yeah, it's been much more. Yeah, well, absolutely, been much more expensive than what it was here. Oh,
yeah,
absolutely. You know, and if someone takes a look at McDonald's, which is now anywhere from $500,000 to $2.5 million for their franchise, they'll investigate it for a half a year.
Right.
You see. But when you ask them $49, you know, going back when you shared this testimony from Australia, you used the word that she said she invested in a wellness home, and that's really what it is. It's not something that really costs you. It's an investment that has huge dividends, even financially. You know, I've said many times that when Ellie and I were not feeling good and we invested in the NECHEN products, that investment paid for our products.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was just emailing somebody in Ireland today. He's having a really good month and helping somebody else to build their business.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, there's two kinds of people. There's two reasons why people get into NECHEN. They're either getting in to save money or they're getting in to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized partway through the email that that's not true, because there are people that just get in to save money and they refuse to share it with anybody, which I still don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that do get in to make money also save money, because eventually they get their products for free.
Absolutely. It's almost like reading a good book that changed your life and you never share it with anybody.
I don't understand it. I don't know how you can do that.
No, I don't either. I really don't. Now, when you got back from Team Diamonds, and take us back to that part of your story, when you got back from Team Diamond, what did you start doing? Did you make a list? Did you start getting on the phone? What did you do when you got back? You were all excited. You got your dreaming part of your brain going again?
Well, it was made clear at that event that if you were serious about this business, you had to go silver.
Mm-hmm.
So we had, at that point, Bo was really not doing network marketing. He was doing direct sales.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know he was doing direct sales,
mm-hmm.
but and he didn't know, you know, he didn't, you know, he was running around so fast, he didn't have a lot of time to be coached from his upline.
Mm-hmm.
But what he was doing was he was telling people about this sleep system, which is what we had in that day. He was rolling them out and leaving them with a sleep system for a week or so, and then he would follow up and take it away, and they all wanted to buy a sleep system.
Mm-hmm.
He would register them with a company for $49 so that they could save money on their sleep system.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would go on to the next person, and then on to the next person, and on to the next person. So we really weren't doing network marketing. We were doing direct sales. He was doing direct sales.
And you were sponsoring a lot of people wide.
Sponsoring a lot of people wide, but we were not digging legs. We were not building a network marketing organization because we didn't know how to do it.
Right.
So... When we came back from that Team Diamond event and needed to go silver, we needed three seniors on our front line and $20,000 worth of volume. Well, we already had 15 seniors on our front line.
Oh, my goodness.
So now all we needed was the volume.
Yeah.
So we ran around, you know, enthusiasm on fire, you know, ignorance on fire.
Yeah, right.
Did not know what we were doing. And we talked to everybody. And We got information in the mail, and we got on the phone, and we called our friends. We made a list. We were just, you know, going every which way but loose. And by the end of the last day, 3 o'clock on the last day, we were at $3,000 in volume. And Bo said, honey, this is not going to work. We're going to have to do this again next month.
Okay, now let me just make sure I heard you right. The last day of the month where you needed $20,000 to make silver, you only had $3,000.
We had $3,000. We had all the seniors in place.
Wow.
But we only had $3,000 in volume. And what I haven't told you is at the very beginning of the month, Lynette gave us very good coaching. I said, how do we do this? We want to go silver. And she said, you have a family meeting, and you tell your kids that you're going silver and let them pick the prize once you go silver. So we sat down, had a family meeting, and we said, listen, we're going to go this thing called silver, which means, you know, we can't guarantee dinner, and Dad and Mom are going to be running all over the place, and the house is going to be a mess, and, you know, but it's only going to be for 1 month, and then we're going to celebrate, and how would you like to celebrate? And Dylan and Mackenzie wanted to go to the go-karts and to the Glenwood Hot Springs pool.
Mm.
So we said, all right, when we achieve silver, we're going to go to the pool and to the go-karts, right? So we ran around, and we did, you know, we did like chickens with our head cut off, and we... At the end of the 3 o'clock on the last day of the month, we had $3,000 in volume, and Bo said, honey, this is not going to work. We're going to have to do this again next month. And I stomped my foot down to the center of the planet, and I said, listen to me very carefully, young man. We just told our children that we're going silver, and there is no way I am waking them up tomorrow and telling them that we failed.
Yeah.
We are going silver tonight. And Bo said, how? And I said, I have no idea, but we better get on the phone quickly.
After the intention, the mechanism kicks in, doesn't it?
That's right.
I love it.
So we had no idea, but we had ultimate faith that it was going to happen. We had no idea where it was going to come from. We had no control. All we had to do was ask and let it come. So we did, and by 12 o'clock California time, we had $22,000 in volume, and we were silver.
Mm-mm-mm. Wow, what a story. What a story. So what is one of your favorite, or let me ask you this, what do your kids think of NECAN at this point?
Well, we've got teenagers now, 15-year-olds
okay.
and a 16-year-old.
I understand. We raised two teenagers as well. Yep.
They don't want to be the weird family that sleeps on the weird beds and drinks the weird water and all that kind of stuff. However, when they, you know, when they're sore or, you know, when they don't feel well or whatever, they come and say, what do I do for this?
Yeah.
You know, what do I do for that?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I know that when we raised our two girls, and they're now both grown and have left the house and everything, but when we were raising them in their teenage years, you know, sometimes they had to give up their beds because we had NECAN people from out of town who came, and we didn't have a big house. And you know, they grumbled a little bit till one day they got to go to Europe with Mom and Dad because of NECAN.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, they came back home and says, we'll give up our bed anytime to go to Europe.
Well, you know, it's so interesting that what you said earlier, Dave, about we should all get off our Niken products for 3 weeks
mm-hmm.
and just reintroduce ourselves to how great we feel when
mm-hmm.
we're in this environment.
Mm-hmm.
I can honestly tell you that our kids, neither one of our kids, have missed one day of school because they were sick.
Wow.
That's unreal. They've been through elementary school, middle school, and now high school, and they don't wash their hands any more than any other kid does
mm-hmm.
in the public school system.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very, very healthy children. They have good genes on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even if you have good genes, you get a cold once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they don't. So I'm very, very proud to say that, I mean, you know, we are a healthy family. We pride ourselves in our health.
Mm-hmm.
We invest in our health on a daily basis. We know that prevention is very inexpensive compared to being sick. And so we have a catastrophic health insurance plan, and we're gambling
mm-hmm.
that we're not going to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd rather play that game than the other one.
Yeah. Now, Cindy, both of you, obviously, as I'm listening to your story, and it's so fascinating, you know, I know you guys, but I'm not sure that I ever heard your story, so it's so exciting to hear it. You guys weren't poor. You did not, you know, you weren't desperate. Obviously, you were looking from the standpoint of prevention, things like this. And you shared a product testimonial. Share an opportunity testimonial that you were able to impact somewhere in your organization, perhaps even a rags-to-riches story kind of thing in your organization, that because you and Bo decided you were going to do this, that, again, someone's life financially was just so totally changed.
Well, we have one of the people that we sponsored is a woman here in the Colorado area. She lives about 10 minutes from us. Her name is Rachel Dayton. She just went platinum. And I met her because I play on a women's hockey team. I used to play on a women's hockey team, and so did she. So she was suffering with some tendonitis in her ankle, and I helped her with some products for her ankle, and I was always taught, you know, the body heals at night, so you have to get them on a sleep system. Don't just give them some stuff for their ankle. So she had a great product experience. Her ankle got better. I didn't know that she couldn't sleep through the night, but she started sleeping through the night for the first time in 15 years. And so she came to a wellness preview, and she came into this room. She had just gotten divorced from her husband, and she had not asked for any financial support for her daughter, which was from a previous marriage. So here she was, I don't know, 46 years old or something like that. She was now single, a single mother with a daughter going off to private college. And she had a six-figure income walk out her door. And she thought, how the heck am I going to stay in this valley and do this?
Wow.
And she had this product experience. She came to this wellness preview. She walked in the room with all these positive people. And she says, I don't even remember what the presentation was about. But being in the room, in that environment with those positive people, I knew I could do this, and I wanted to do this. It was something I wanted to do. So she's been able to stay in the valley. She has built a strong organization, mostly in the Minneapolis area, even though she's living in Colorado. And she's sent her daughter to private college. She's on her second Niken car. And she's still building her business. You know, she'd still like to make more money than she is currently making.
Mm-hmm.
But if without the Niken income, she wouldn't have been able to stay here and accomplished what she's accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good.
And being
it's
a good diamond, you know, I mean, hundreds of stories, right? Hundreds of stories. And the people's lives, we have no idea. We just have no idea because there's so many people the size of your organization and global, you have no idea who you're impacting tonight.
Yeah, no idea. No idea. And it's great to talk with people on the phone and congratulate them for going silver.
Sure.
And then one day meeting them face to face and really have, you know, you've created this relationship, and with this new webinar technology, you might even be able to see their face.
Yes.
Over
yes.
the computer or Skype.
Mm-hmm.
But you can really create relationships on a global scale. And I don't know you know, in a corporate structure, you might have relationships on a global scale, but they decide who those relationships are with.
Mm-hmm.
In this program, you decide who those relationships are built with,
mm-hmm.
and you can decide who you're contacting. You know, eventually it does get out of your control. It snowballs out of your control, which is a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you are then introduced to people that you didn't meet face to face.
Yeah.
But the most interesting, the most compassionate, the most dynamic people are attracted to this network marketing company called Nikken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cindy, how do you prospect today?
The same way I always have.
You know, I love to hear that, and I've interviewed so many diamonds and royal diamonds over the last half years, and you know, they all say the same thing.
Yeah.
You know.
It's really about creating conversations and listening, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You know, we try a lot of other stuff, don't we? We try a lot of other stuff, and we always keep coming back to that which we were so good at in the beginning when we first come in, because I've always said people are natural networkers.
Yeah, absolutely. And it comes back to the point that you said earlier, how could you go to a movie or read a book and uh-huh. really like it and then not tell anybody about it?
Yeah.
There's something very unnatural about that.
Yeah, it is.
So, especially if it impacts your health,
mm-hmm.
if you are drinking water and all of a sudden your body is just working better,
mm-hmm.
how can you not share that with other people?
Mm-hmm.
I really don't understand that. I think it's more natural to share it with other people than to not share it with other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, we're coming down to the bottom of the hour here, and I'm running out of time, and I have tons of questions I need to ask you yet. How do you, for the people who are new on the call tonight, they might be a brand new wellness consultant, maybe they have a sponsor that doesn't know exactly how to get them started, or it might just be a prospect. We have some prospects on these calls sometimes. What would you tell these people, brand new, what they should be doing, how to get started in Nikken?
Well, what I would do is I would go onto the computer, or I would call your sponsor and ask them who is in their upline that, you know, that is actively building a business.
Yes.
And get their phone number or their email address, and then I would contact them directly. And I would get your questions answered by somebody who has already done what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I've done, you know, I go to events all the time, and I'm constantly picking up business cards from all kinds of people.
Uh-huh.
And I know that when I sponsor somebody in Tennessee, I can pick out that business card that I got from that nice man that I met at this event that lives in Tennessee, and we can hook them up together so that they have a support network even though I'm not living in that geography.
Uh-huh.
So I have huge three-ring binders full of business cards, which are really the Nikken network that I can leverage as a business person, because as far as I'm concerned, that's our strongest asset, is our Nikken network.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, so often we have wellness consultants and even leaders go to these meetings, and they sit there and they just take it all in and all in and all in, and they go home. I always try to tell my leaders to go and network. That's the real number one reason for the meeting, is so you come home with 5 or 10 or 15 more people that you have their cards, that you can do three ways with, that you can connect them with, that you can network with.
That's one of the best things Lynette taught me in the very beginning. When I was at that Team Diamond event that mm-hmm. I spoke of early, she said, "May I give you some homework?" And notice she didn't say, "I'm going to give you some homework." This is not American network marketing. It's Japanese network marketing.
Yes.
The difference is the Japanese ask permission.
Yes.
So she said, "May I give you some homework?" And I said, "I'm here. You might as well give me homework." And she said, "I would get as many business cards as you can, and on the back write two things, their product experience and what they do for work." And so without me knowing it, when I went to check out the bottom, you know, I listened to the top, and then I went to interview the bottom, the people that hadn't made it up on stage yet. That's what I did, was I got their business card, and on the back of their business card, I wrote, you know, migraines and a lawyer, or
mm-hmm.
whatever. mm-hmm. on the back of the card, and so that I would remember when I had these handfuls of cards, and I might not even be able to draw the person's face up, mm-hmm. but when I got back on the phone, when I got, you know, back to Colorado, I would have somebody to call and ask them questions if I needed that kind of experience.
Yeah, you know, and I continue to do that, and then come home and just stick those cards on the 3x5 cards, and I index them, you know, mm-hmm. alphabetically. A is for arthritis, and N is for a network marketer. You know, if they're a good mm-hmm. network marketer, put it in there. L is for a lawyer, you know, and mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. And so you quickly have that. That's phenomenal. I'm glad that someone else does it and not just me.
Absolutely.
Now, because we work with so many people, you know, people have said already that the best thing about this business is people, the worst thing about this business is people, that you really do have to keep yourself motivated and keep yourself up. How do you motivate yourself?
I think I get re-motivated every time I'm at an appointment,
mm-hmm.
every time I listen to a tape, every time I listen to a CD, every time I watch a DVD, every time I go to an event. I mean, I'll tell you, this winter, I was teaching a lot of skiing. We had a wonderful, wonderful winter in Colorado, and I really taught a lot of skiing and didn't do a lot of Niken.
Mm-hmm.
But even though I wasn't paying a lot of attention to my Niken business, this check kept coming
mm-hmm.
on the 15th of the month. And, you know, it was a pretty substantial check. And, you know, I wasn't actively earning that money. Now, even though that was very exciting that to get this check, it was, you know, we do have bills to pay, so it was a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like what you said about the products earlier. You know, if you get out of the business for a while, you might forget mm-hmm. how fun the business is to do.
Yeah.
And now that the mountain is closed and I'm back doing my Niken business, I remember how much fun I have building this business.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm not excited about this business, it's because I'm camping in front of my computer, reading my emails. I'm procrastinating from building this network.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts to cave in on me, and my energy starts to down spiral. So the way I up spiral is I start making phone calls. I go out and see somebody. I go into town. I make an excuse to get out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go visit somebody. I'll call somebody in my upline. I'll call somebody in my downline. I'll call somebody in my crossline.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to stay close to the fire because the logs that roll away from the flame burn out and die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, that is so true. Cindy, what do you see Niken's future to be?
Oh, my gosh. We haven't even scratched the surface.
Mm.
We haven't even scratched the surface. There is this thing called critical mass, which I've really never experienced. I've heard a lot about it. I've looked at it. It makes a lot of sense to me. You know, I've read The Tipping Point. I understand that whole concept. And I believe that we're still planting seeds in this very fertile ground. And over the 30 years that Niken has been in business, there has been an awareness that has developed over time of the Niken technologies and of Niken the company. But along the way, Niken has evolved so fast and become such a bigger vision in so many people's heads. It's not just a magnet company selling products. It is this wellness home company with a wellness global mission.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's absolutely huge. So this 100 monkey theory is
yeah.
going to happen, and the people that are positioned to you know, to be part of that, not only are they going to be rewarded you know, spiritually, financially, emotionally, mentally,
mm-hmm.
physically, but it'll be so exciting to know, to look back on your life and realize that you were one of those small chinks in the chain that helped to bring Niken to its high point. And I still believe that point is coming. I really don't
yeah.
believe
yeah.
we've even come close to scratching the surface. And Bo Tamas, I think it was, said that we've actually lost market share
mm-hmm.
because the human population is growing at a faster rate than Niken is growing.
And so is sickness and disease.
Absolutely. And so is sickness and disease.
Absolutely, and I'm not so sure that we will always catch up to that, but we are going to have our major share. In that book, The Tipping Point, I also read it, talks about the technological curve. And when a new technology is introduced to the marketplace, it takes 2% of the people using that product or using that technology to have that explosion, to have that critical mass that takes place. Well, we are now about 1.5% of the population that has used Nikan products and or knows about Nikan, and I really believe we're going to hit that this year. When we get to that 2% of the population, and we're moving pretty close to that right now with Nikan, that we're going to see that explosion take place. And anybody on this call, even if you're brand new, you can prepare yourself. You can position yourself. Cindy, I think you've used the word position, which is a real good word. You position yourself to take advantage of that critical mass where, you know, maybe 1 year the company did $500 million, where the next year they could do $3 billion.
Yeah, and, you know, the other contributing factor to that is we've never had the Internet before.
You're right.
Network marketing was a very, you know, a difficult business without this communication tool called the Internet.
Yep.
And now, you know, staying in touch with your group and meeting your group and introducing your group to other people, other players, and other places is so much easier than it's ever been before. And that, on top of what you just described, is the reason for the explosion.
Absolutely. You know, I'm developing a program called Track the Gold. I really believe we're moving into a time, and this was brought up at the ALC in Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago. I believe we're moving into a time where it's going to be probably easier in the very near future to break out of gold than it was in the past to break out of silver. Hmm. And, you know, we don't break out bronzes. It's just where we put our sights. And the reason I like the fact of tracking to gold or breaking out of gold, because we don't talk about silver anymore. We talk about, you know, getting to that gold level and breaking out gold, because that's where we want their sights to be, not at silver, but at gold, because what all we need to do is just have the dynamics of a few people underneath them working as a team instead of just as a silver doing 20,000.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of a silver, you're kind of on your own. But when you're breaking gold and you put a team gold together to go make gold, I believe that the time will come when people will be taught how to break out golds within 6 months and follow the ALC rhythm that every time an ALC, Advanced Leadership and Communications things, comes up, that they'll be going to those things with 3, 4, 5, or 6 new golds with them.
Hmm.
And because that, I think, is the time we're moving into. And what's exciting for me, because I've gotten a brand new vision, a brand new excitement over the last 6 months, is that we are right at that stage right now where all that is happening. Before I let you run, why should people be on the call on Thursday night, Cindy?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, let me say that there are still a couple more days left in April, and there is a promotion that's going on this month that is not going to be around ever again, and it's double points on these packs.
That's right.
So if there's anybody that's ever considered buying a pack, good Lord, now is the time to register with the company, buy the pack, and get the double points.
Absolutely.
I mean, don't miss that opportunity because it's going away.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, come May 1st, I mean, you know, what I've always said about Nikan is that, you know, I don't know a lot about the Japanese culture, but what little I do know, I don't know them as being a very imaginative culture as far as coming up with new ideas, coming up with new inventions.
Mm-hmm.
But what they are good at is taking an existing invention and fine-tuning it for what the public wants,
mm-hmm.
for what makes sense in the marketplace. And what they've done to the Nikan compensation plan is they've taken a network marketing compensation plan, they've gotten rid of anything that does not make sense, they've added what does make sense, and that's the compensation plan that we have today. I believe that Nikan is taking a look at the business and saying, this doesn't make sense, this makes sense, let's keep this, let's rework that. And there'll be a lot of announcements May 1st having to do with the direction that we will be going with a lot less confusion, and that will be a good thing.
You know, Cindy, I'm so glad you said that because the light bulbs just went on. It is a real different culture when you're talking about, and this is something I said from day one when I first got into the business, and I got away from it, and I think in the last five, six, 7 years, we've tried to Americanize our compensation plan. And I think management is really taking a hold of that, as you said, that on May the 1st, you're going to see a real Japanese style. It's always going to be an American company, but a Japanese style of network marketing that coming back with some of those things and coming back with that relationship and that philosophy of what Nikan is all about, and it's just a couple of days away.
That's right. And in fact, I'm reading a book now called The New Professionals.
Uh-huh.
I read it before, and I'm reading it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reminded yesterday when I was reading a section of it that network marketing is huge in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very accepted form of distribution in that country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you study the Japanese culture, if I consider you my friend, then that is a huge title. We don't take that lightly.
Uh-huh.
And so as your friend, if I come to you with a business opportunity, first of all, I would not do it unless I had checked it out thoroughly myself.
Uh-huh.
And of course, you are going to look at it as my friend because you are my friend.
Yes.
And you know that I would do nothing but the best by you.
Yes.
So, you know, I think the due diligence process in Japan, because of, you know, their culture,
uh-huh,
is taken a lot more seriously, and therefore, you know, people, it's not a fly-by-night, you know,
uh-huh,
it's a good thing today, oh, well, I made a mistake, it's not really that uh-huh good a thing, because I didn't take the time to really check it out. And
yeah,
Nikan, I believe, it is the Microsoft of wellness, it really is.
And when a Japanese company comes to America, they don't quit.
No.
You know, they come in under the radar screen, and the next thing you know, they take over an industry. But a Japanese company that generally comes into America, the American market, they don't quit. They find ways to make it work.
And the United States is just becoming aware of alternatives to drugs and surgery,
mm-hmm,
I mean, which is amazing considering we're in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been so many statistics that are now out in the marketplace and so much education that's now gone on,
mm-hmm,
that, and so many side effects that have been experienced or surgeries that have gone bad,
mm-hmm,
that people have, and you know, people aren't blaming the doctors, but they're blaming the system. The system,
mm-hmm,
is broken. It does not work. The doctors that are working in the system and the patients that have to be, you know, a subject to the system, know that the system doesn't work. It's all over the press everywhere. It's all, you know, what the politicians are talking about. So now that, you know, now people are more open to wellness,
mm-hmm,
because they know that they have to find another solution, that the sickness industry is not a good place to be.
Mm-hmm. The janitors in Microsoft became millionaires. You know, that's many times what I think, you know, the level that we're at. The janitors in Nikan at this point become the multimillionaires. Well, this call has been taped this evening, growinginwellness.com. That's growinginwellness.com. You can go into that website. You can listen to parts of it again if you want to. Guys, let me encourage you to get a copy of this call. It is one of the best interviews that I've done, and very, very appreciative of Cindy for taking her time. Get copies of this. Pass it on to your people and let them hear this phenomenal story. Cindy, one last word of advice before I let you run?
I would just say, if you're a prospect and you're looking at this, please look at the whole picture. Please get together with the person that invited you to this call, and if they're brand new, which they very well might be, then have both of you get together and get with somebody who knows what they're doing in Nikan and really get a picture of what we're doing together,
mm-hmm,
on a global scale with this amazing company called Nikan.
Yeah. Cindy, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking the time, for sharing your story with me. I mean, I was just so blessed to have you be on the call tonight and hear your story.
Well, I really appreciate you inviting me.
I really appreciate
being part of it.
And give our best to Bo out there, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the next big Nikan event out there.
Fantastic. Thanks, Dave.
You bet. Next week, our guest is going to be Stephen Bees, my sponsor, and he's going to tell you some stories as to how he built the business, he and Gisela, and what a hard time he had getting me into the business and getting to take a look. It's really going to be fun to interview my sponsor, and we are really going to have a lot of fun. So thank you guys for being on the call, and really appreciate that. And God bless you out there, and we'll look forward to seeing you at one of our next NECANN events. Thank you, guys.